Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Indiana Sports Now with Ken Sterling. It's Friday, October 23rd, 2020. It's almost game day here at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington. We're brought to you by the great people of Today's Dentistry, Dr. Mike O'Neill, the best that there is. Call him. We love Dr. Mike O'Neill. We love the entire team at Today's Dentistry. You will too. Making an appointment as easy as calling 317-849-2933 and saying, hey, I'd like an appointment. Easy as betting on the Indiana Hoosiers as 6-point dogs tomorrow against the 8th-ranked Nittany Lions of Penn State. We'll talk about that in a moment. First, Philip Rivers is going to join us, the quarterback for your Indianapolis Colts. Philip, thank you for taking the time. Appreciate it, especially during a bye week. Philip, what I want to know first is how important is getting the ball out quick? Kind of a rudimentary question, right? An easy question. How important is it to get it out quick on time in avoiding a sack?
Well, I do think that getting a ball in my hand on time or accelerating, your progression based on what the coverage plays, based on what our reads are from the quarterback position. I've always thought that was very important. I think you certainly the role that the quarterback plays in conjunction with the protection and also the quicker you can get it to our guys' hands, before guys are breaking on it or give them a chance to catch and run. I've always thought those things are important. So obviously we have a heck of a group up front mixed with the tight ends and backs as well. And they've been unbelievable in protection thus far. But I never think it's one of those things you go, well, shoot, I'm going to hang on it a little longer. Are there times when you do? Yeah. On some shot plays and things that you have to. And thankfully we got a group that can hold up in those situations, but at the same time, you want to get it out on time, both to help pass protection. And I think it helps the efficiency of the, yards after catch as well.
You know, speaking of that, how do you judge whether an O-line's good or not?
Well, I mean, I think, the tape just shows what a heck of a group we have here. I mean, it's been proven over the last handful of years, both on the tape and you've seen some of the recognition that the guys have gotten and deservedly so. I've always thought from a pocket standpoint, obviously, you got to have athletic tackles that can, nowadays they're blocking these guys. They're 240 pounds. They can run 4.4. So we have that and the ability to push them by. I've always certainly a guy like myself is not looking to escape. So I would much rather be able to step up. So if you can just run them by at 10 yards, that's obviously super important. And then from there, really the interior of the pocket. If you're getting a lot of push, and there's nowhere they can run them by all they want, but if you're stepping up and you're getting a ton of push in the interior, that's when it gets, it's more tough. It's tougher for a guy like myself, more traditional pocket passer. So I think the combination of our tackle's ability to handle both the bull rush and the speed guy, and then our interior guys really being able to anchor down and not allow too much penetration really creates that kind of that cup right there in that pocket to step up in there and be able to see and find lanes, to throw. So our guys have done a heck of a job of that. I think, as you mentioned, some of the numbers support that. And again, just watching it and both being out there doing it, to a couple games where we've thrown it over 40 times, and it's been unbelievable protection, especially when you're down, 21-0 and the other team knows you're going to throw it. That can be a challenge, but our guys did a heck of a job.
This season, you've had a couple of sacks where you just didn't quite get to the line of scrimmage, but it still counts as a sack against the offensive line. Does the offensive line give you crap about that kind of thing?
No, they hadn't said anything, but I certainly would have liked to get past the line of scrimmage or thrown it away. There was one in the game the other day that I really scrambled right, and I felt like I was moving pretty good. I thought I was going to be able to gain a yard or two, but once I realized I wasn't, I was quick to make sure I threw it away before I stepped out of bounds. Did want another cheap sack counted for the guys, counted for our team. So now the guys are doing a heck of a job. I hope they know so far. Obviously I try to tell them as often as I can, just, how much I appreciate them. And I hope it goes the other way as well, as far as, getting it out on time and not standing back there, patting the ball, waiting for somebody to pop open.
What is it about the no huddle that kind of suits you? It seems like it's good rhythm for you. Would you like to go no huddle all the time?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think it's the ability to mix it up. I think it's really what makes it most effective. I think if you're always huddling or always no huddling, and then again, it doesn't matter unless you get first downs. I don't care if you're huddling or going no huddle, but I do like that mode, and I think as we have this year, and we'll continue to use it as a change up and mix it at times. Sometimes there's games where you may obviously the game called for it a little bit against Cincy, but there were games I remember back in that 3-year stretch where it was just one of those games. It was a no huddle type game. We were going to be in only 3 or 4 formations, and we were going to go and based on what the defense played and how the looks they gave us. Then there's other games where you go, gosh, no huddle doesn't make a lot of sense. So I think coach has a great feel for that, and he and I and communicating throughout the week by week, will know if there's a time to go on a spurt of no huddle or use it more regularly, or you know what, this game we're gonna huddle up and change personnel every other play. So I think that just kind of depends week to week.
You guys self-scouted on Wednesday. What'd you see in that self-scout, not just of the quarterbacks but of the team?
I think kind of position groups, rooms did different things, as far as, maybe some were a little more focused run game things, what we can do better here, whether it's zone scheme, gap scheme. We kind of focused a little more on the third down stuff and red zone. I think the biggest thing, and I know we always say it, but it's just execution. You look at a lot of those third downs, and we've been pretty good, 4-6 and 7-10. We've been over 50%. And then, the 2-3 was really our worst area, which you think, that's not acceptable, but it's really just a lack of execution. There weren't many where you go, they got us, the defense just got us. And there were a few, but it's only our own self-inflicted wounds, whether it be a bad throw. Obviously there was, 4 of the 6 interceptions, I think came on, they were on third down. In those drives, if we're not going to get it in those drives with a punt or a field goal, there was more things that we just didn't do well in those areas. But so you don't just look at it and blame it all on that. We certainly look at it and go, shoot, what do we want to run different, in these situations? So it was good today. I think, anytime you're coming off a win, going into a bye, it certainly feels a little bit better, right? Looking at some of those. So, get some rest now and kind of start gearing our eyes towards Detroit as the week goes and through the weekend and then get ready to go.
What do you see when you watch your Colts defense? How do you assess them?
I'll tell you what, I mean, our defense it's a lot of what I saw right across from me, during training camp. I think the first thing is just the overall team speed. And it's one thing just to be fast, but the way they all fly to the football, I mean, these guys are, high effort, high energy, fly to the football defense. And then I think just really how they've settled in and really, really doing a great job. Obviously I'm not analyzing this stuff from the sideline on game day, but just hearing Flus talk about it during the week and on Saturday nights and things, just how well they're doing disguising, playing, mixing things up and making it tough on the opposing offenses. So it's been a heck of a start for that defensive group, and it is fun pulling for them on the sideline. I've always, I get done when I need to get done watching, looking at a couple of the clips and the pictures and talking to Nick, and you kind of constantly in communication with Nick and Marcus and Jacoby, and whatever you need to say to the O-line or different things kind of come up. But I've always been one of those guys that like to stand right there and pull for our defense.
Did you stick to your guns and keep your promise that you weren't going to read any more media after that game against the Bengals?
Yeah, I hadn't. How was it?
Well, it was more positive than it was after the Browns game. Let's just put it that way. Are you going to continue to shun the media?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't. There's no plan, much like the questions I get about the interaction with the opposing team. There's no game plan. But like I said, really Sunday after the game, I felt like I was the same guy that I was the previous week and just played a little better. And that's what this league is up and down. And I know you've heard Coach say it, we're not going to ride the wave. Certainly you have human emotion and normal, a little bit of that comes with it, with the highs and the lows, but just really trying to stay steady and keep going. I mean, it's a week-to-week league. You see it across the league. I mean, shoot, the Cleveland Browns were the best team in the AFC And then that quickly changed. The narrative changes all of a sudden with 1 week. So, I mean, that can go on and on around the league. So we just got to stay with it, stay steady. You know, certainly it'd be nice not to hit any other bumps in a row, but we may, and we'll handle them as they come.
Let me ask you about a specific play from the Bengals game. It was a play where you switched sides with Jonathan Taylor. You brought Marcus Johnson in motion inside, and it popped for about a 20-yard gain to Taylor. What did you see pre-snap that made you check to that play?
Yeah, well, it was a man coverage look, what we had up just it wasn't going to bode very well. It was just, you know, you have certain checks that you can get to versus certain looks or certain things we talk about throughout the week. I really didn't know that or didn't expect, you know, Jonathan to be running that wide open. I think if you look at that clip again, you'll see that defensive end was probably supposed to peel with him and cover him, but he didn't. And so we were able to take advantage of that. But so certainly didn't anticipate that it would be that easy, but just had, you know, Jonathan on free release. We had, you know, Marcus was going to be kind of coming across the field to a degree, and a couple other crossers. So it was just kind of just getting us, hopefully trying to get us in the best situation possible, and then ended up being even better than anticipated.
That's Philip Rivers. We're here in Bloomington. The Hoosiers going to take on the Nittany Lions Saturday afternoon, tomorrow afternoon, 3:30 Fox Sports 1. Like I said, they're 6-point dogs. It used to be if a top 10 team came into Bloomington and Indiana was only a 6-point dog, man, you heavied up on the opposition, right? I'm not going to root against Indiana. I had an opportunity to do that last year. I had some information, I got to tell you the truth, about a game last year, and the information affected the line substantially. I didn't even bet on that because I'm not betting against the Hoosiers. I'm not going to root against the Hoosiers. Tomorrow, would I take Penn State? Yes, I think Penn State's going to cover the 6. But I'm not betting on Penn State because I am a Hoosier. This is my team. That is my Memorial Stadium. And I'm not going to do that kind of thing. Indiana, tomorrow, they're going to be playing in front of an empty house. The place looks beautiful. It looks like it's ready to welcome fans. It's not because of COVID. This parking lot is being used as kind of a testing area, evidently. So what are you going to do? We can't come here, so we're going to sit at home. We're going to watch. Maybe people will come down to Bloomington. They're going to enjoy themselves. Maybe go to Nick's, something like that. Enjoy a couple of libations and watch. Hopefully, the Hoosiers win. Need to remind you that the basketball team's at work. They're going to be playing here not too much longer. College basketball season's going to be terrific. We're still kind of mourning the loss of Patrick Chambers and his career kind of going off the rails yesterday because of something he said while the coach at Penn State, and that's kind of unfortunate. Patrick Chambers, one of the really good guys in college basketball, and him losing his job is no reason to celebrate whatsoever. Hopefully, by the end of this college basketball season, we're able to walk into Assembly Hall and cheer on the Hoosiers in a way that we're not going to be able to tomorrow at Memorial Stadium. We will talk to you Monday, Breakfast with Kent, as always, bright and early, 8 o'clock on Facebook Live, and then immediately thereafter on Twitter and Periscope. All brought to you by the great people at Today's Dentistry, 317-849-2933. Oh, Indiana, oh, Indiana. Indiana, we're all for you. I should have been one of those drum major guys, right?